Hi, this is a show made by Alan. I'm Alan. This week, my friend of over 20 years, Gerald Liu, tells me about his week playing gigs in Spokane. And in case you're wondering, yes, he's Alyssa's older brother. This episode was intended to be quick and light. I asked him to send me a couple of voice recordings that documented his week. However, it turned into a series of calls and tread deeper waters than I expected. I hope you like it. Gerald's week started with a five-hour drive in sub-freezing conditions. When he arrived at his destination, he was greeted with more coldness.
It's very, very cold. I think the first day I got here, it was negative 10 below zero.
And anxiety.
The big thing that I'm worried about is tonight's going to snow. I know there's like some musicians that are coming from out of town to like come to these concerts to like play. And so I'm worried that they'll have some issues like on the road, and that would be a nightmare. Like, there's only four of us, right? Like, every single person's incredibly critical. We can't miss anybody. But I can't worry about that. I don't have time. Like, I need to focus on making a really good product.
He had to play four concerts and three different set lists over the next 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, so for each one of these concerts, we're probably playing like 12 or 15 pieces. These concerts are like hour and a half long.
That meant Gerald needed to figure out how to competently play between 36 and 45 different songs by multiple artists, including Taylor Swift. This week, we're going to follow Gerald's process of figuring out how to capture Taylor Swift's spirit with a viola. I know Gerald to be pretty detached from pop culture. For example, he didn't know who Billie Eilish was until last year. But he is familiar with Swifties and how important it is for him to do a good job.
The other hard part about this concert is everyone listening is a big Taylor Swift fan. And for these candlelight concerts, the Taylor Swift programs are really popular. They host a lot of them and they're always sold out. So just really wanted to make sure that we did a good job, you know.
Gerald, a nerdy, four-eyed, 30-year-old Chinese-American viola player, had to figure out how to embody the panache, girl, and star power of Taylor Swift, whose idol status has bolstered local economies and inspired fans to sue a multi-billion dollar entertainment company. And while this feat is too daunting for this nerdy, two-eyed 30-year-old Chinese-American podcast producer, Gerald was undeterred.
Ooh, this time, I'm telling you. And so I'm trying to capture that on a string instrument. What I want to do is when I play this tomorrow, I want to capture Taylor Swift's spirit and maybe invoke some of the same feelings that the audience felt when they first listened to the song, the actual recording. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not here just to play the notes. The notes are actually pretty easy. What's hard is really capturing Taylor Swift's spirit.
So how does one capture the spirit of a global sensation and generational pop icon with a hollowed out piece of wood? Well, Gerald starts with the source material.
I listen to the lyrics, I listen to the song. So for each of these pieces, I have like a one or two word adjective to describe the piece. So for Cardigan, that's the piece we're opening for this concert. I wrote seductive. And so I'm trying to put myself there. So, you know, maybe it's private, but in my mind, I'm trying to think of some seductive thing that's happened to me, or, you know, I'm trying to be seductive. When I play Cardigan, I have seductive on the top of the page. I'm sliding around. My fingers are sliding. My bow is very, very loose. The way I vibrate on the instrument to get like emotional effect, I might do it like a little bit slower.
He also experimented with different string combinations and fingering techniques.
Wait, the quality might not be good. Let's try this.
Into this.
She does like a vocal inflection to that top note, so I'm physically sliding. I'm doing like a really stupid fingering that I would never ever do on the viola normally, but because I want to capture that inflection she has in her voice, I'm doing this slide, I'm doing a harmonic on one string and then sliding back down on one finger, which I would never, ever do.
But this experimentation doesn't happen in a vacuum. Gerald is part of a group, and collective feedback informs these decisions.
After, I forgot what piece, but after we played a piece, one of the members looks at me and goes, Gerald, that was wonderfully in tune and like really great playing, but it sounds too classical. It doesn't sound swifty enough. That was their comment to me.
Sometimes musicians will be in groups with people they've never met before, and they might not get along.
Yeah, definitely people butt heads a lot.
This bad blood can have a really negative effect on the group's dynamic and performance.
If someone's being an asshole in the group, it's going to rub off on everybody, and there's going to be this disconnect amongst musicians, right? And then we're not going to play as well together because we're just not connecting emotionally.
But generally, pragmatism wins out.
But also, it's not productive to butt heads because we have 2 or 3 hour rehearsals and we have 15 pieces to play through. You know, we don't have time to really mess around. Like, if person B really plays person A's method really badly, like, it's not going to be a great product. And it's not even their fault. They're not the player to do that, right? Maybe. They don't feel the way person A feels it, and so they're not going to play it as well. And so it's often not very productive to force ideologies. Sometimes we'll compromise.
Fortunately for Gerald, he got along really well with his group.
It's a great group. It's a fantastic group.
Though he did have some concerns after the first rehearsal. There were balance and timing issues. But in their second rehearsal...
Today went great. Like, we're having a lot of fun. Everybody was sounding great. Whatever issues that were in the first rehearsal, I think everybody took care of them. It went really, really well. We're jamming. We're really grooving to Taylor Swift today.
After hours of rehearsals and fine-tuning, Gerald was excited to perform. Unfortunately, they wouldn't play together that week.
Today, they emailed us during our rehearsal that our concert was canceled due to inclement weather. Apparently, it snowed like a foot while we were rehearsing, and so they just canceled the whole thing. Yeah, it's very frustrating. So I'm very frustrated that after that really great rehearsal where we're all playing very, very well, that actually nobody's going to hear it except us.
The concert was rescheduled, but Gerald wasn't able to make the new date. He'd now be making less money than he planned, and he made a lot of sacrifices to be there.
I drove from Seattle, Washington, all the way out to Spokane, which is in very far eastern Washington. It's about a 5-hour drive. And it's just frustrating because I canceled some students to be able to make these concerts. I decided not to pursue an audition for something else so I could make sure I had time and preparation to make these concerts sound good. So it's just very frustrating to realize I'm not getting paid for this concert.
We're all familiar with the archetypical starving artist, which tells us that the economics of creative work is not in favor of the laborer. The passion that drives people towards this line of work is often exploited. Many artists realize this, and with little recourse, make the financial sacrifice. Less well known, though, are the personal sacrifices they make. Much of this might be directly or indirectly caused by the financial hardships of creative work, but what I'm talking about is obsession. And Gerald's obsession with music strained his relationship and contributed to its end.
When we did break up, she was saying that living with a musician was very difficult. You know, she's hearing me talk about it and watching my concerts like all the time. I spent a lot of time practicing during grad school. A lot of time like reading scores and listening to the music I'm playing. A ton of time spent in rehearsals. When I started grad school, I really thought, like, this is really special, like, this chance to be educated. And so I decided I wanted to spend every waking moment of my life, like, doing grad school things. I was super busy all the time.
Gerald's former partner wanted to emphasize that she didn't have a problem with how important music was to him, and that while it was a contributing factor, it was not necessarily the most significant one. And in addition to mourning the end of his relationship, Gerald realized he lost something else. His personal connection with music had eroded, and what remained was cold and technical.
Music should be this really beautiful, joyful, like emotionally, like, intoxicating thing. it should be. And so when she said something like that, that was very sobering to me. It was kind of like a wake-up call. It was hard. It was very heartbreaking.
A couple of months after his breakup, Gerald moved to Seattle and started to notice himself feeling better.
The change in scenery really helped a lot because I lived in Austin for like 7 years or something like that, like quite a long time. It was really good just to get away from everything and just like start something totally fresh.
And this helped him figure out what he wanted out of music.
I guess like in Austin, I already kind of had a career, right? Just crafting my career from scratch has been very interesting. It's really made me, it's forced me to think about like what I want from life. And I think the big thing was like, I want music to be joyful. Like at the end of the day, it should be full of joy and it shouldn't feel like a 9-to-5. I feel like if it feels like a 9-to-5, then I'm kind of doing the wrong thing. I could be doing like a straight up 9-to-5. And I don't think being a musician should have any semblance of feeling like a 9-to-5. Minus the consistent practice. Like, it should feel full of life. That's what I've decided. Yeah, I think I just kind of noticed one day I looked in the mirror and just kind of thought like, oh, like, I feel a lot better. I don't know when that happened.
Gerald did get an opportunity to play Taylor Swift that week. It was a different night with a different group. But he found that they also worked well together.
Hey, don't ask who, sorry.
Okay.
Wait, just the, at 69, right? Can we do that?
Yeah. So Nessa was slightly early, 69.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you all were late.
Yeah.
What a good mentality.
I like
that. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Because you can attract it if you don't think like that.
You can manifest it.
Exactly.
And what did you manifest?
Money.
Mm-hmm.
You look so serious when you chop, which is great, but...
Literally, I look serious.
Okay, that's it.
Your solo is enchanting, girl.
Oh,
I was so enchanted.
And as for the concert itself...
Beautiful concert. At the end of the concert, we even had somebody get on their knees and propose to their girlfriend. That was the last thing that happened at the concert. And then I went up to them and asked, like, you know, this is so beautiful. Like, do you want us to play a number for you? And they're like, oh, we don't want you make that. But, you know, I really like Lover. And so we did play Lover and they did a little dance with the candlelights. And it was a really special thing. I was like, how many people get to say they get to do stuff like that for their job?
When I asked if he thought he captured Taylor Swift's spirit, he said this.
So while I was playing Blank Space and while I was waiting for my solo to come up, there's just like a few seconds of gap right before I need to play. I was just thinking about like, it's kind of about this recklessness with relationships, right? And just like this unbridled passion, right? Like it's either... the relationship, it's either going to be forever or it's going to go down in flames. Like, that's some crazy shit, right? And so, like, before I played that exact melody, I was just like, you know, screw it. I am the guy. I was like, I'm going to break some hearts right now. And so I said that to myself and then I played it just like how I felt. I don't know if I captured Taylor Swift's spirit, but I just drew from her inspiration and her lyrics and pulled some own life experiences and bam, that was string quartet version of Blank Space.
That's all from me. I'll catch y'all next time. I want to give a huge thanks to Gerald for telling us this story.